you have your Bibles, I want you to take them out, all right? And I want you to turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians and find chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. And today, we are going to continue the study that we have been in for a couple of weeks now called Ministering in Maturity. This is, as I said, the third week of this study, and it's based upon a scripture that we find in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, and you don't have to turn there because I think it's going to be up on the overhead, but if it's not, I will read it to you. Ephesians 4, 11, and the truth that we see in Ephesians 4, 11 is this, and he himself, and that he there's in capital letters, so that means God. And God himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And here's the reason that he gave those. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Who are the saints? Is that a group of people that's been canonized and have already gone on and finished their work and we revere them? Is that what he's talking about here? Actually, no. It's not what he's talking about because he addresses many of his letters to the saints who are in this place or that place. And so he's writing to a living group of people. He's not writing to a group of people that have already finished their course. He's writing to a group of people who are alive and right in the middle of God's purposes on this earth. And he said that fivefold ministry, which is usually the ministry that we see doing a lot of the teaching in the house of God or in other places, has been given for a specific purpose. And that purpose is to equip the people who are doing the real work of the ministry. And that is you. If you are a saint and you are saved by grace, then you are a minister. Look at your neighbor and say, the Bible says you're a minister. Somebody said, I don't care what the Bible says. I don't want to do that. Well, we're going to be talking a little bit about that today. But the Bible says that you are a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that we are to work in that ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. And the definition of a perfect man is to that which we could look at and say, that's full of Christ. That is full of Christ right there. That's the definition of maturity. And we're all called to work in the ministry until we see that outcome in people's lives. All right, so we got a lot of work to do. We are not finished with our calling yet. But God has called every single one of us to be ministers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some are ministers in the marketplace. How many of you feel like you may be called someday to be a part of the fivefold ministry? When I say that, you feel like you may be called to be a missionary, a pastor, a teacher in the of others, an evangelist. How many of you say, I really am wondering and or know that that's my call? God be with you. All right, we probably need to get all of you down because and just pray mercy over you. Now, it's a wonderful thing, but let me tell you, you're going through the eye of the needle. That's what you're going to have to go through before you get finished with this course. Now, the rest of you are ministers as much as those are. Some of you are called to minister in the marketplace. You say, Pastor, what's the marketplace? That's where you live. That's where you go to work every day. That's what God has called you to put your hands to on a daily basis. It's where you go to school. God has called you to go there and to be his light. And you are actually frontline ministers. Now, I go out and I'm involved with people on a daily basis as well. But you guys go out on a day-by-day basis, right on the front lines. You know, in a war, they had what they call the front. And the front was where the enemy squared off, the two armies squared off and faced one another, and where battle was done. And you guys, all of you that are called to marketplace ministry, you are on the front lines. You are right there where God is seeking to seek and save that which is lost. And you're his tool for him that he works through. I'm not saying you save people, but you are his hands and his feet and his voice to the world. All right? And we have got to get that in our spirits. The faster we do, the better off we will be. Last week, I told you that the first two topics that we were going to talk about in this series would be foundational teachings. That is, they are lessons that are fundamental to the proper understanding of how life is lived in the Spirit, and they are lessons that are fundamental to how we minister, to knowing how we minister to other people without losing our minds. Okay? So they're fundamental to how we live life in the Spirit. They're fundamental to how we learn how to minister to other people without losing our minds. And last week, the first teaching was called the three levels of accountability. How many of you remember that one? How many of you say, the Lord used that teaching to help me learn something or help me in a way in my life? That's about seven people. Well, that's good. I'm going to tell you, it'll get to you. It'll get real. Now, today's teaching is called the three levels of life. Okay? So, 1 Thessalonians, and I'm the only one in the building that's not there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we are going to read verse 23. Verse 23. And here's what the Bible says. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you say, I'd love that to be a testimony about me? Now, let me tell you what's good and exciting about this. If you leave verse 24 out of this, you miss the boat. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Hallelujah. Good news. Now, the scripture that we just read speaks about the sanctifying work of the Spirit. You say, Pastor, what does it mean to be sanctified? To be sanctified doesn't mean that you wear long pants when you mow. It doesn't mean that you never wear anything below your chin level. It doesn't mean that you wear your hair a certain way. Okay, it doesn't mean that you don't own a television or any of those kind of things. That's not necessarily what sanctification means. Sanctification means that you are set apart to the purposes of God. You are set apart. You've been called out of ordinary living to serve the purposes of God. That's what sanctification means. That's what it means to be sanctified. That requires that the entirety of our being be submitted to Him. Our entire being has to be submitted to Him. And according to this scripture, every single one of us are made up of three parts. Every single one of us. And there are other scriptures that talk about this as well. That we are spirit, that we are soul, and that we are body. Being created in that way reflects the image of God. We're created in the image of God, and the Trinity is a tripart manifestation of God, of the Godhead. And we're created in His image. We're created in three parts in our creation: spirit, soul, and body. And somebody's saying, oh, I've heard this 1,000 times. Well, then you better hang on, because there's some things coming you haven't heard maybe in a long time, and you need to. Now, here's a definition of these three elements. Before we move on, we really need to define them so we'll know what we're talking about. Okay? Spirit. Spirit. What does it mean that we are spirit? All right? Spirit literally means wind. Wind. And it is the God-seeking part of us. It is the part of us that has been created to be united with the Holy Spirit. Before we're born again, it's like we have a lamp inside of us that's not lit. And that lamp is yearning and crying and seeking to be lit by that which is truth and enlightenment. And we have a desire and a yearning for eternity. We are creatures that have a desire to be connected to something bigger than ourselves. We have a desire to be connected to that which is going to last forever. We have a desire to be connected to something that in which we can find our real purpose as people. It's a desire. That's the Spirit's yearning within us. And until we're united with the Holy Spirit, that Spirit continues to yearn that way. And it can lead us toward God. That's its purpose, is to lead us toward God. But it can also, if we get deceived, begin to lead us into some areas that we don't need to be led to. Because remember, it is seeking eternity. It is seeking to be lit. It is seeking to for its destiny. And it can only find its destiny in union with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit. But until it does, it continues to yearn and it continues to seek and it continues to look. Now, the Bible says that we're also, part of our creation is we're also soul. And the word soul literally means breath of life. Jesus took the first man he created, Adam. He formed him. And then the Bible says that he breathed into him life. And Adam became a living soul. Adam became a living soul when God breathed into him. It means breath of life. And the soul, when you study in the scriptures, most often it's talking about the seat of affections and will and intellect. It's the part of us that yearns. It's the part of us that has affections toward things. It's the part of us that has feelings toward certain things and desires for certain things. It's the part of us that has certain interests toward certain activities and toward other things that, you know, you may be interested in mathematics, or you may be interested in hunting, or you may be interested in this and in that. And not all of us are the same, because the soul is also a person. It describes a person's distinct identity or their individual personality. It's our individuality. Each one of us has a soul, and there are commonalities in reference to that soul. We all have affections. We all have yearnings. We all have desires. We all have interests. We all have likes and dislikes. We all have emotions, although some people have repressed them terribly, or some people, they're out of control. But we all have those things in common. We all have the ability to think and reason. We all have a will in which we can throw behind activities that we really want to follow. And that's the expression of our soul. The soul is the direct aftermath of when God breathes the gift of life into us. And the third part of our being is called the body, and that's pretty simple. That's what you can see. It's your physical body. It's literally your covering. It's the body glove that you live your life through. And the body's connection to the world is through the five senses. Does anybody remember what the five senses were, or did your school teacher fail in that? All right, what are your five senses? I wrote them down. Sight, smell, touch, hearing, and taste. And that's how your body relates to the world around it, okay, is through those five senses. Everybody with me so far? Say, yeah, I've heard this before. Well, let me just tell you this. Now, I know we get a lot of different teaching in the body of Christ about how we ought to treat ourselves. But I really believe that to be healthy people and to be growing people and to begin to be restored as a people and begin to understand the fullness of what Jesus has done for us as a people, that we have to be a people that have appreciation for all three levels. And that we also have to take care of all three levels. We have to take care of ourselves at all three levels. As a matter of fact, you have to take care of yourself in a manner which reflects the worth of Jesus' sacrifice for you. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were going through they were depressed. I mean, in the soul realm, they were depressed. They were in pain. They were hurting. They're a believer, strong believer in the Lord Jesus. And I began to ask them what was going on. And they said, well, I'm involved in a situation not by choice that is really violating my faith. It's going against some things that I see in the scripture, and I'm a part of this in my job, and I don't like it, and I feel vexed by it. And I just asked them, I said, if I were to ask you a question, what would your answer be? So they asked me, I said, do you love Jesus? He said, yes, I love Jesus. I said, I believe it. Well, why don't you show that by taking care of yourself in a way that reflects the worth of his sacrifice for you? And I'm not talking about narcissism. I'm not talking about just strict selfishness at the expense of God and other people. That's not what I'm talking about. But if Jesus died for you, then that tells me you're important. And the way that you look at yourself and view yourself and the way that you serve him is by taking care of what he paid so dearly for. Not in a selfish way, but in a healthy way. If you are sick, you need to pray and receive his healing over your body. You don't need to just neglect yourself. You don't need to just forget about it. You don't need to just say, well, it's not important. God's not interested in that part of my life. Yes, he is. He was beaten. The Son of God was beaten for your healing and restoration in your physical body. The Lord is concerned about that. I've seen people get to the place to where they fasted so long that they died. Literally or nearly died. And I'm looking at that thinking, you know what? What benefit did God get out of their death? They didn't get to see the answer of anything they prayed for. I don't understand. And it's almost like that we are just not receiving God's worth for who we are. Now hang on a second, because somebody said, well, where does obedience come into that? We're going there. Okay, so hang on just a second. Now, if we're not united with the Holy Spirit, if our spirit's not united with his spirit and under submission to his spirit, then all of those areas of our life are out of whack. They're not operating according to the way they're supposed to operate. I don't care how good of a person you are. I don't care how moral you appear. It's out of whack. It's out of whack. It's not operating the way that it's supposed to operate. Now, every day that you live, right now, you are living in all three levels at one time. Right now. Every single day, you receive input from all three levels on a daily basis. Okay? It's real. How many of you felt a hunger pang sometime this morning? You're receiving input from the bodily level, from the physical level. How many of you have breathed this morning, or your heart has beaten since you've been up? Well, then your bodily level is working on a need that it has. Okay? It has needs at that level. How many of you thought a thought this morning? How many of you picked out something to wear this morning? Then your intellectual, your soulish level is at work, okay? But all three levels are important, and all three have needs, but the Holy Spirit, this is important, is in authority over all levels. You're designed to live with the Holy Spirit in authority over all three levels. Even though all three areas have needs, you are designed for the Holy Ghost to be an authority over all three levels. Now, while the Spirit may not direct every decision that's made at every level, he has the right to input into any level at any time. And has the authority to be able to do that. Let me tell you, let's talk for a minute. For instance, the size and the color of the shirt and the style of the shirt you wear tomorrow, you may get no direction from the Holy Spirit on which one you're supposed to wear. That is dictated at the soulish and the physical level. What size? Unfortunately, that's dictated by what size that I am physically. What color is an expression of my individuality that God has given me, the way that he has created me. The color, the same thing. Okay? And I don't hear God go to me every day and say, today, thou shalt wear the polo shirt with the stain on the sleeve that is pink. I don't hear it. Pastor Bob, you may be walking in a different dimension than me, or John Savelle, but I don't hear him saying that to me every day. Those are decisions that he has allowed me to make in the soul realm. All right? Other type of soul level decisions are my hair color. Maybe even hair length. The color automobile I drive. Maybe even the type of automobile I drive. Okay? These are decisions that are made at the soul level. What type of a movie I'm going to go see sometimes, or what type of music that I listen to, or what, whether I like hunting or whether I don't. Those are decisions and things that are at the soul level. And the Holy Spirit doesn't always input into every decision that's made all the way down, but he has the right to do so. All right? Now, for instance, let's say, well, what's a for instance of him inputting at that level? Let's say that the way I dress is promoting sexuality or promoting me. Me, 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 me. Me, me, me. Or it's promoting something that I shouldn't be promoting. Maybe I'm wearing a shirt that has an advertisement on it of things that ultimately lead people to destruction. Well, the Holy Spirit has the right to speak to me and say, don't wear that. Change the way you dress. He has the right to do that. And he does do that at different times in our lives. All right? And I've seen some people get out of balance in that area. Every day they get up and ask God which shirt they ought to wear. Or, how should I cut my hair this time? But unless the Holy Spirit tells you to do a certain thing in this area, then you can decide for yourself. But if he does give you direction, you better do it. Is everybody with me so far? Okay. Are you with me? Are you understanding? Now, you don't have to ask the Lord when you should eat, or should I go to the bathroom today? You don't have to ask the Lord that. You don't have to ask when you should breathe. Lord, when should I breathe next? You don't have to ask the Lord when your heartbeat should beat the next time. You don't even have to ask God most of the time what you should eat for dinner. These decisions are made in the soulish and body realm. Some of those are body decisions. But if the Holy Spirit does change you to tell you to change your eating habits, what do? You change them. If the Holy Spirit says you are destroying yourself by what you're eating, I gave my life for you, I want you to change it, then you can't just say, hey, that's a body decision. I'm not going to do that. You say, yes, sir, I will do that. I will obey you. I will do what you tell me to do. If he tells you to fast, what do? I can't fast. My body doesn't like that. That's not what you tell him. You go, yes, Lord, that's what I will do. I will fast. All right. So I'm kind of laying a foundation here, but I'm about to jump into spirit. So is everybody kind of with me so far, understanding what I'm talking about? All right? I've had the Lord input into those areas in my life, and he has the right to. I've gone down to buy a car, and the Lord said, don't buy that one. I looked at one, said, hey, that's the one that looks good. I kind of like that one. I heard the Holy Spirit said, no, don't want you to get that one. Rhonda and I had that one time. I think we actually drove the car home, filled out all the paperwork. I can't remember. And then we talked and said, this isn't it. I remember, this is not it. And the Lord has the right to input in that decision. And man, the car that we got, that thing ran 300,000 or 400,000 miles before we got rid of that car. I mean, it was amazing. Pastor Roy used to tell me the Lord used to tell him which car to buy. And I disagreed with him because he never bought a car with air conditioner in it. And we'd go eat lunch in Texas in 107 degree temperature. And we had suits and ties on. And I was like, Lord, surely you understand how we are dressed and what we have to do. But I understand that that was a decision that the Lord was directing him in because the Lord was directing him in his finances, which is a spiritual area, by the way. And we're going to talk about spirit in just a minute. And so even though in the soulish realm and in the physical realm, I didn't like that decision, it was directed by the Holy Spirit. All right? Now let's talk about spirit decisions real quick. And this is the meat of what we're getting to. These are decisions that should only be made by the Holy Spirit. Okay, now let's repeat that together. These are decisions that are only to be made by the Holy Spirit. Good. Spiritually governed decisions. Number one, who your friends are and who you date. Who your friends are and who you date. The Bible tells us that how can two walk together unless they've agreed to do so? All right. The Bible also tells us that bad company corrupts good character, and there's a couple of verses up there. All right. The Bible tells us that we are to be not careful about who our friends are. I tell you, when I first got saved, the Lord started talking to me about some of my friends. The Lord said, I love those guys. And he said, I'm going to send you after them. I said, okay, let's go after them. But when they came after me, I had to say, no, I can't do that. I can't go there anymore. I said, I love you too much. And I love me. The Jesus died for me. I can't live that way anymore. I can't keep going and doing those things anymore. And I said, I'm sorry. I can't operate in the same way with you that I used to, although I love you more now than I ever have. Right now, I love you more than I ever have, but I cannot be yoked together with you in a close friendship anymore. You know why? Because one of you is going to take the other one somewhere. One of you is going to take the other one somewhere. And a lot of times, it's the unsaved that pulls the believer into activities and things that they shouldn't be involved in, that end up bringing destruction in their lives. I'm going to stop here, and I've got a word this morning for somebody. There are believers in this house that are looking, that are lonely, that are looking for a cure to your loneliness. And you're having to wait long on God. Some of you have isolated yourselves. And when I mean isolated, I don't mean you don't come in here, but I mean when you leave here, you're not really connected to any believers. But some of you are just lonely, and you're trying to meet the need, that loneliness need, through activities and situations that is only increasing the loneliness. I just felt like the Lord told me that last night, to say that this morning. That some of you are trying to meet the need of loneliness through activities that is actually only increasing your loneliness. And also opening the door for Satan's activity to operate in your life. Now, listen, when we walk through this life, we have enough opportunities to run into the devil without us opening the door and saying, more opportunities are available to thee. Do you see what I'm saying? And so we've got to trust God. And we've got to do things His way. And friendships and dating relationships are spiritually guided and governed decisions. We don't missionary date. That's against the Word of God. We don't date somebody saying, I'll change them. They'll get saved. I know they're not saved, but they will be by the time I get through with them. That's in direct violation to the Word. All right? That's not what we do. The Bible tells us that we are to be, when we are seeking a friend or seeking some, and I'm talking about a close friend, somebody not an acquaintance, but somebody we're going to run with, we had better be sure that they are people of faith. Or when we're dating someone. Second spiritually governed decision, marriage. Everybody say marriage. Marriage. The Bible says do not be yoked with unbelievers, period. Well wait. I've got a little different situation. No, you don't. You don't. I don't have to read any further to understand that you don't have a special release from that situation. The Bible also says that when we marry, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39, it says that person must be in the Lord. They must be in the Lord. Marriage, I'll tell you what, if you want to get the devil as your father-in-law, marry somebody that's not saved. And you can talk to some of our dear brothers and sisters in here. Some of them married before they were born again, and they've gotten born again, and they have a spouse that's not born again yet. You can talk to them and kind of get an idea about what you'll be facing down the road. Okay? You do not want that. All right? That is not what God, those are spiritually governed decisions. Marriage is two people operating as one. And you have to have the foundation the same. Number three, career or jobs, or I could put school in here as well, because school is preparation for what God has for you to do, preparation for direction for your life. I go back to Ephesians 4:11 in here. If you're all called to be ministers, then where you minister is a God-directed decision. How you minister in that career, it's a God-directed decision. Where you go to school to prepare, or you're a minister and I'm a minister in school, where you go to school is a God, Holy Spirit-directed decision. It is, okay? Those are Holy Spirit-directed decisions. Some people make decisions based, or career decisions based on money and proximity. Dale Gentry once said something very wise. He said, I never make a move or a career decision based on money. Never. Everybody say never. Never. That's a lot. That covers a lot of area. Never. Why? Because everything that glitters may not be God. Did you know the enemy can use things that look enticing to draw you into a situation away from the will of God? To get you in the wilderness? Satan came to Jesus in the wilderness with some good-looking stuff and said, man, right now you need some of this stuff. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you right now, I need to be obeying my Father. That's what I need to be doing. And I am waiting on Him. And I live on every word that comes out of His mouth, not on what I make, not on the prestige of my job, but on every word that comes out of His mouth. I am a minister. That means where I am work is vitally important. All right. I could also have one up here, finances. I didn't put that one in for some reason, and I don't understand why. Because how you manage your finances is a Holy Spirit decision. Well, I give God the 10%. That means the 90% I can do with what I want to. Do you know what the 10% is? It sanctifies the rest. It sanctifies the rest. It doesn't appease God where God gets His hand out of your pocket. You gave me 10 and that gets my hand out of your pocket. He's not some kind of shakedown artist. This is not the mafia where He's coming to somebody's business and saying, you're going to have to give me part of your profits for me to leave you alone. That sanctifies the rest. That sets the rest apart as holy. And you know what? He owns it all. You are not an owner. You are a steward. Being a steward is hugely different from being an owner. A steward manages someone else's properties. You cannot read a scripture in the Bible that talks about finances or the management of goods without seeing the idea of stewardship connected to it. You can't do it. I remember in the book of Haggai where the Lord's talking to Israel, and He said the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the former the glory. And boy, He is talking to them about the Spirit that's coming, and He's saying, man, the season is changing. Everybody say the season is changing. God gave us that word over this house. The season has changed. And He said, but remember, in the midst of the seasonal change, the gold is mine and the silver is mine. Right, stuck right in the middle of all that spiritual talk, He stops for just a second and says, the gold is mine and the silver is mine. Because when people start obeying God and when seasons change, gold and silver increases. And He said, don't get your eyes on that, because that is mine. I still direct the usage of those things. Just because I increase it doesn't mean that's for you to use on yourself. Come on is right. I'm starting to get excited now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Finances are important. It's a spiritual decision. And I'm not saying you get crazy. Lord, I want a Dr. Pepper. Can I have one? Okay, let's don't get kooky. But God gives us guidelines on how to use these things. He gives you budgets. He gives you categories. He gives you ways that you're supposed to spend money. I told every single one of you in here, and some of you have not done it yet, that you need to be actively asking God, at what level do you want me to live? And some of you haven't done that yet, and that's why God hadn't blessed you yet, financially. Because you haven't gone to Him seriously enough yet to say, you know, it's coming. It's coming. And what I need to do right now is I need to ask you, at what level do you want me to live? I don't care if I make $10 or $1,000,010 this year. What level do you want me to live at? The rest over and above that level is used for ministry. It's yours. Some people haven't seriously asked God yet, and so that's what He's waiting until you do before you do anything, before He does anything. Because if He's a loving Father, and if He gives you something that you're not ready for, it'll just destroy you. Something you haven't been serious about, it will take you down the tubes. Okay, what's another spiritually directed decision? Where you live. I like that house. I want to live over here. I want to live in Westover Hills. I want to live over here. That's a God decision. I know that sounds kooky, but it's not. Because if you're a minister, where you live is important. The Bible says in Acts 17:26, that God ordained the exact places where people were supposed to live. I always ask God. You don't think that's important? Just move somewhere where you got the devil living next door to you. And God may move you in a place where you got the devil living next door to you. But if He does, there's a purpose for that. All right? But I never move somewhere I don't say, God, lead me and guide me. And Rhonda and I have stood in places we already laid a deposit down on. And we went back to look at it, and we both looked at each other. And I stood in there and I said, this ain't it. But I didn't say anything to her. Well, we went to church. It was Wednesday. We went to church that night, and during praise and worship in Rockwall, she looked at me and she said, that's not the place we're supposed to be. She said, the Holy Spirit told me. I said, well, that's amazing, because He told me the same thing. I said, give the deposit back and we'll keep on looking. Where you live is a spiritually governed decision. Here's another one. Where you go to church. Bible says the Lord adds to the church. The Lord adds to the church. And so you know what that means? The Lord is the one. If He's the one that adds, He's the only one that can subtract. Now, here's what I want to say to you about this. And I should have had this in red, and I messed up, so it would have been up here. You never make a spiritual decision in the soul or physical realm. Okay, we're going to repeat that together. Everybody say, you never make a spirit decision in the soul our physical realm. I don't like that church. Don't like their seats. It's too far away. Man, if I would have gone to church somewhere because it was convenient, I would have missed a whole lot of stuff God wanted to do in my life. We drove 45 miles one way to go to church, and we're there on Wednesday and Sunday. One way. Now, that wasn't comfortable. And my kids whine sometimes. I'm tired. You know what I mean? I said, we got to go. This is what God said. This is where He's added us. We have to go here. Well, I don't like this, and I don't like that. I challenge you to find a church you like everything. And if you're going to go by your likes and dislikes, you may even get what you want, and then you're not going to want what you got. All right? You know, I am telling you, that is dangerous. And then there's the thing, you know, where people are, disadding themselves all the time. And then you begin to talk to them, and I don't care what excuse people say about moving. What I want to know, and I haven't always done this like I should. I think I went through a season where I just thought, hey, people are leaving, that's just the way it is. But I know better than that. And what my job as a pastor is to look you in the eye, and if you say, Pastor, we feel like we're supposed to leave, I'm going to say, did God tell you to do that? Well, it's kind of along the jobs, you know, he's having to work more hours and you know, and I said, no. That's not what I'm asking you. Those are challenges. Those are soul things. They're soul things. I want to know, what did God tell you? Is he telling you to do it? Because if you can look me in the eye and say, God's telling me to do this, then that's between you and him, and I can release you. Otherwise, we're just making a spiritual decision in the soul or physical realm. Seriously. We don't missionary date. We don't make career decisions based on money. We don't live somewhere just because we're retired and that place has a lot of sunshine. I'm going to move to Florida. I feel good about it. I'm going to sit on the back porch and eat nachos and drink Pepsi. I feel good about it. I can feel good about a lot of things. Way I feel has to be under the authority of the Holy Spirit, because I could feel like having an affair. I better not, because I know I live with Lorena Ronda. You better not go to sleep. You better never sleep in the house again. You'll have to learn how to sleep like a horse, standing up with your eyes open. You know? Because I know my wife. If I start goofing up, she's going to be down here to these guys. I know her. Parky's messing up. Get a hold of him. She's not one of those wives. And I'm glad. I don't want that. I don't need a bunch of people around me telling me everything's okay. Well, or I understand people. I understand. You know, it's good for people to... John Savelle's a good friend, and he has stood beside me. He has seen the worst, all these guys, the worst of me and the best of me. He's seen it all. And he's always trusted in the Lord. To be a pastor's friend takes someone real special. And when I'm not someone, to be a friend of a pastor takes somebody who knows God. You have to know God. Because pastors are human too. And they can look at you one day and tell you, I hate what I'm doing. I hate the people. I hate this. I hate that. I just want to kill this person. I wish God had never called me to do this. And you know, to be a, you know, you could sit there, and if you don't know who God is, you could go, our pastor's lost his mind. You understand what I'm saying? But somebody that knows God says, oh, I'm listening right now to a bunch of stuff out of the soul and physical realm. And that's an important realm. It needs to be ministered to. But when all this is said and done, and after we've done all the ministry, it's going to go back to what the Holy Spirit says. And somebody has to have faith in that. Somebody that's really going to be a good friend has to have faith in that. To anybody. Because you, as a person, need to be able to tell people how you feel. And just because you're saying how you feel doesn't mean you're going to act on it. We're just humans, and sometimes we just got to get things out. We got to get them out on the table so we can look at them, and the Holy Spirit can start showing us what's important and what's not important, and we can start working through things. But we don't ever want to make spiritual decisions in the emotional realm. Well, I don't feel like that. I don't feel like doing that. How many of you ever told God you didn't feel like doing something? How far did that get you? Huh? How far, honestly? I don't feel like doing that. That has never won me one argument with God. Never. Never. Sometimes he'll say, I understand that, but this is what we're going to do. Sometimes he'll say, he'll just, like a loving daddy, he'll say, I don't care how you feel. He says, I understand that's real, but we're not going to base our decisions based on how you feel. If we're going to start doing that, boy, we're going to end up way off from where we need to be. Our feelings are important, but they need to be examined. I'm not talking, feelings are important, and you don't need to squash them because they're like lights on a dashboard. They tell you what's going on underneath. That if you have an engine light come on your car, the answer to that's not to smash the light. Well, it's not on anymore, so it's fixed. No, you're to let that light tell you what's going on underneath the hood. Our feelings come from what we believe about things. And so we want to examine our feelings and trail them so we can get to what we're thinking and believing about a situation, and then line that up to the authority of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And let Him take authority over those areas and minister to us in those areas. All right? I know it's a good word because it's a God word. I don't even have to be told. Some of us choose a church like we do a grocery store or a chair in a movie theater. You know, and I mean, I've thought about retirement, although I have no money. I don't know how anybody retires with no money. Y'all see me at Walmart, I guess. I hope not. When I'm 80-something years old, welcome to Walmart, praise God. Isn't God good? No, I know God can do anything. All right? He's my provider. But, you know, I mean, I've thought about that. Wouldn't it be nice? I mean, I watch House Hunters International, just like you do. And I see all these people making all these spiritual decisions based on soulish stuff. Well, we came down here on a vacation, and man, we just liked it. We liked the way the wind blew. We liked the color of the water. And we're just going to move down here. I thought, boy, that sounds good. Heat up the nachos. Ice down the root beer. Let's get ready to go. And then I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, but what about my call? Who cares about my call? Who cares about my call? Who shall I send? Who will go for me? Did you know there's a lot of people that turn that down? Lots of them. But that's the most precious thing in the world to me. And I say, I want to go where you go. I want to be exactly where you want me to be. I want to be right in the middle of where it is. It may be the ugliest place in the world, physically. Maybe hot. I may have to go to the bathroom in a hole in the ground instead of sitting on a nice toilet given to me by the city of Fort Worth. You understand what I'm saying? But wherever God is, you get one of those toilets? I know Chandra did. Two of them. Yeah. But you know, I got to be where He wants me to be. And I can't make those spiritual decisions like that in the emotional or the physical realm. And it's real easy to do. It's easy to disguise your likes and dislikes for spirit direction. The Bible says that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, which is physical, soul, which is another part of us, and spirit, because sometimes the soul can sure look like the spirit. But the Word of God is the authority. All right, let's pray. Father, I want to thank You so very much for everything. Lord, I just pray that You will use whatever was of You in this word for Your glory, and that it will stick in people's hearts. And whatever was not of You, let it fall to the ground and not even be able to be remembered. Father, I give You praise. I submit this word underneath Your authority. And Lord, we just thank You and honor You and praise You. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen.